chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. I don't have the exact number of page in the church Bibles, but it should be right up the end. Unless it's not, in which case, turn your Bible around. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw the Lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped.
G'day, fresh start. My name's Dave. If I haven't met you, I'm the pastor of Church at Nine. Please keep your Bibles open at the end, at Revelation 5. There's an outline kicking around that'll help you to listen and to learn and take notes if that helps you. Kids, make sure you're listening out for the star points. I'd love to talk to you about what you learn about Jesus over afternoon tea a little bit later. Let's pray before we have a look at God's word. Let's pray. Father, we ask again that you would reveal our deepest motivations to us. Help us to hold our identity up to the cross and examine it. Fill us with your spirit to change us to be like you and find our identity in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Alice is a successful biochemist. She publishes at least one highly regarded academic paper per year. If you know anything about academia, that's not much, but as we'll learn in a moment, Alice is doing that part-time. She's a mum the rest of the time. Alice has won the Colworth Medal for outstanding research in her field. This prize comes with the equivalent of $5,800 in prize money. At the preschool gate, when she's dropping off her daughter Olivia, no one knows this. She's just Olivia's mum. Olivia has not done anything yet. Now, this story isn't about gender or childcare roles. This story just happened to be taken out of a book dealing with being a mum. The situation is a coincidence. we're talking about the identity facets of this for now. You could swap out the names and achievements for anything you like. So if this happened to you, what would you find yourself doing next? If you were in a situation where no one knew of your achievements, and you were known only through someone who hadn't done anything yet, what would you do next? Would you find yourself saying things like, "My name is Alice, I'm a separate person, thank you very much"? Or perhaps, "Sorry I'm a bit late this morning, I was just unpacking from our Europe trip, funded it all with the prize money, you know." Or perhaps, "Goodbye Olivia, work hard at preschool, wouldn't it be great if you could write big academic papers on biochemistry like your mummy?" In a voice just loud enough for the other parents to hear you. Or perhaps you're self-controlled enough to put on a fake smile and only think these things, while desperately hoping that someone will ask you what you do for work. Or are you one of the other parents, and you've just heard Alice's not very subtle bragging, and you find yourself being a little bit envious, or maybe guilty that you haven't worked hard enough? Or maybe smug, because you know that as awesome as biochemistry is, you reckon you've got some gold stars on your own resume that had put Alice back in her place. Now, we don't like to admit it, but we define identity by what we achieve in life quite a lot. Well, if you missed last week or you're visiting today, it's awesome that you're here. We're up to talk number 2 in a mini-series exploring identity. It's been inspired by a book that the APC staff team have read together. We're exploring the burden of defining and defending our own identity and the tremendous freedom that comes from trusting in Jesus to define and defend our identity. And so our definition of identity goes something like this. Identity is located in the person or activity that defines our sense of self-worth and importance. And I tend to protect this with my actions and emotions. In Alice's case, at least in my examples, her identity is caught up in her achievements as a biochemist. Becoming a mum has rocked her. Now, sometimes it's when our identities are threatened that we realise just how strongly we've held on to them. And so as we seek to protect our identity, in Alice's case, she's either passive-aggressive and brags about what she's achieved so that people will think more of her and less of her preschool-aged daughter. If you stop to think about it when I put it like that, an adult bragging so that they look better than their cute 4-year-old looks pretty bad. Yet we do that kind of thing all the time. And it's what makes our key verse for this series so amazing. Our key verse comes from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Wouldn't it be so much better if Alice had her identity located in Jesus, who loves her more than her achievements? Then she could be free to delight in God's good gifts to her, not worrying about her reputation or her temporary known only through her daughter status.